Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Sunday, August the 30th, 2020. I have the honor to have Professor Fall on. He's been on several times before, and we have a friend of his, a cousin, actually, Jeffrey. And so we're going to have a conversation here on several subjects, and Panama, the vaccination, about world events, riots, the economy. And with that said, I welcome Professor Paul. Do you want to take it, Paul?
Yes, thanks, Stu. We just completed the cycle again of the lies and the deception that is the Democratic and Republican Party. So we have two conventions, and they're designed to energize the base, so to speak. The Democrats energize their own, and then the Republicans energize theirs. But what I'm seeing is divide, 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 divide and conquer. I thought President Trump was fascinating in his remarks. The guy says all the right things and nothing happens. And what I've learned over the 48 years that I've been involved, at least in politics and the election process, is same playbook, same promises, and nobody ever makes their promises happen. So that being said, I do want to mention that I actually believe Kamala Harris believes that she's going to do what she says she's going to do. And I have no doubt that the Democratic Party's agenda is to come after everyone that is not in sync with their message, which is uncivil war and the takedown of America. That being said, I also don't believe that Donald Trump is going to save America or even intends to. As a matter of fact, I think we can touch on it later in the program. But what I'm seeing from Trump is he's Israel first. His most important contribution, his most important accomplishment, if you will, in his presidency was to make Jerusalem the capital. Now, beyond that, I don't know what he's really done. So I turn it over to you guys with my point that the Democratic convention was designed to energize people to take down America, America as we know it. And, of course, the Republicans try and save America. But what's especially cruel, what I'm seeing is with Reagan, the phony conservative, the communist screen actor, squeal president, is what Reagan started and 41 and then the Clinton and 43 and then Barry, what they all did is they killed the rule of law in America. And after killing the rule of law, what you do is you break down civic institutions. And beyond breaking down civic institutions, then civil society no longer functions. And so back to you guys.
Yeah, real quick here, Paul, if that's all right. I'm reading a comment that was made on June 18th of 2020 from Kamala Harris. She said, once Trump's gone and we've regained our rightful place in the White House, look out if you supported him and endorsed his actions, because we'll be coming for you next. You will feel the vengeance of the nation. No stone will be left unturned as we seek you out in every corner of this great nation. For it is you who have betrayed us. That's Kamala Harris, June 18, 2020. And I defer back to you guys on what you think of that comment.
Well, I'll tell you, this woman I've seen her talk a couple of times. She's totally insane. Now, I call her Biden picks former prostitute as VP. And that's what she is. She's a former prostitute. She's a former prosecutor as well. She's Jamaican. She comes from a white slavery farm. Her father and grandfather owned white slaves, folks. White slaves. And she's not legal. She's not a legal citizen. She's part Indian and part Jamaican. And I say Indian. India and Jamaican. I think her mother was India. But her father being a white slave master, and the grandfather both slavery in Jamaica. And she's not legal in the United States, a legal citizen. So therefore, she can't even believe to be a congressperson like Ted Cruz can't be because he's not legal. So we've got two illegals that I can see right there. Now, that means she can't even be vice president or president of the United States. We've got a problem. And, you know, I watched, my own opinion, I watched not the Democrats because I just couldn't stand it, who was up there. But I did turn on Trump's speech at the last, caught the last hour, hour and some odd minutes. I think what he did was a great demonstration, and I loved the fact of the fireworks display in the end, lighting his name up and 2020 in it. But he made a very powerful speech. Now, you're right about Israel first, Jerusalem the capital. He bragged about it, Paul, in his speech, okay? He's proud of what he's done for Israel. Whether he realizes what he's done or not, I don't know. But, you know, he catered to, and I only say this and I'm just trying to be neutral, he catered to a lot of Jewish people in New York and other places that had money that would spend them at his resorts. And that's something that I just kind of am open to at Paul. I'm in agreement with you. We have heard nothing but just talk, talk, and talk. We're just draining the swamp. If I were president and they did to me what they did to Donald Trump based on lies from the opposition that they used the Justice Department to do it with, I would have had them all in jail. They would have gone through their trials. Their appeal time would have already been up, and they would have been executed for treason and sedition. If I were Donald Trump, that's what would have already happened. And a hell of a lot of them need to be drained, Republican and Democrat. Now, I'm seeing a lot of weird stuff happening, Paul. Let's take Panama. Panama is ordered, its president has ordered all people in Panama by the 17th of this month to be vaccinated, whether you are a resident of Panama or a visitor of Panama, you are to be vaccinated. And they're on total lockdown, and they intend on going door to door and vaccinating people. Oh, what do you think of that one?
It blows my mind. And it tells me how far along they are. And when I speak of they, who am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the globalists, the transnationalists, the internationalists, the Luciferians, and who is their intelligence arm? It is the Jesuits. If anyone wants to check Psalm 2 in the book of Psalms and the Bible, you will see that all of the rulers and leaders conspire. They're all in it together. And I actually was on a rescue mission for my daughter and trying to make some good things happen in her life. But I was doing some research on my own, and I did spend the summer in Panama in 2017. And it was still okay to be a gringo there. But I didn't last more than 90 days, and she only lasted about 5 months. And the reality is that third world nations, I mean, the joke on Panama, of course, is more people speak English in Panama than in Miami. And that may be true. I love Miami, or I loved Miami. However, it just shows us the reach. We know that in New Zealand and Australia, they're under lockdown. We know in South Africa, things are very far along towards the globalist agenda. And so I think we're going to see not only things happen in Panama, but we're going to see things happening in Canada and here and Mexico. And I just think so many moving parts, it's kind of tough to have a 30-second elevator speech. We got so many fire drills going on at once that about the best you can do is pick a topic and figure out how it connects to the next topic, which I think this whole program is going to do.
Well, let's look at it on a base then. COVID-19, the COVID virus, is a form of the flu. Lysol kills it within 3 to 5 seconds on clean surfaces. Lysol spray, the EPA came out with that. The people that are dying from the COVID virus, lacking vitamin D and zinc in their body, and they're catching, can hardly breathe. And I've seen x-rays of an autopsy where the brain shrunk, blood coming out of the person's ear, and they had some kind of shiny metal surface in their lungs. Those are chemtrails. Now, you're aware, and I'm aware, that 5G, which they plan on having cranked up to its ultimate max December the 10th in America, the new whole system will be complete, supposedly. Now, 5G caused double periods in women in Bakersfield, California. I put the nurse on that was having the problem. Her brain was shrinking and blood coming out of her ear. They buried it in the street, took it off the towers, and she went back to a normal 28-day cycle. Now, she found 100 other women in Bakersfield having two periods a month as a result of that. They're back to normal. Her brain is no longer shrinking, and she's no longer having blood coming out of her ear. This is what is happening in America. We are under an attack, an electronic attack. But people have to come back or reevaluate and recognize that we have to put a stop to this. And this is what is causing this. Now, they also, of course, want us to have the mark of the beast, Revelation 12, for the believers out there. The mark of the beast, the chip, the buy or sell. Without this chip, you aren't going to eat. Your bank card no longer works. You're going to have to get the chip. The chip's in the virus shot. And it's got a DNA changer in it, thanks to Bill Gates. Thanks to Bill Gates. I don't know why this guy's still breathing. I'm going to put a wanted poster up on my website for this guy. They want him in the country of India. Indonesia, India, for the murder of a million kids and people over there. They got arrest warrants for it, folks, and the United States won't extradite him. He's a killer. And he plans on having this and bizarre, but down in Florida, they released, what was it, 500,000 mosquitoes or something that Bill Gates came up with that's got the coronavirus in it that will help stop the coronavirus. This guy needs to be, oh, God.
Well, Bill Gates is,
if I saw him and I would go to the outhouse and he wouldn't come out breathing.
Bill Gates is a criminal, and
he's a killer. And he's a mass murderer. A million plus people are dead because of this psychopath, evil bastard.
Jeff, how about you jump in here? You have an anecdote, I think, recently where you haven't worn a mask, and I have two bandanas that I always have with me or near me if I have to go inside somewhere and. The Nazis are looking at me, and I'm just trying not to be a jerk. But you had a recent experience where finally the hecklers got to you after all this time not wearing a mask. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, it seems that you're identified in a certain light, in a certain position, if you wear a mask or you don't wear a mask. And I think there's a line drawn, and it seems like we were identified as having a mask, but not necessarily covering our nose. So positionally, the mask over the mouth meant one thing, and over the nose, meant another. And because we were visiting during halftime of an event, some people pointed us out, and they decided that we needed to be removed from where we were at. And I guess the thing that's disturbing to me is how easily people have fallen in line to comply. I mean, I'm not saying compliance is a bad thing, but in this case, it just seems the agenda of the compliance is disturbing. Because the way we were viewed, we were seen as what you might say an enemy of the state. where there's already a political precedent set. We were seen as bad people. They knew nothing about who we are, what we stood for, but the assumption was made. And therefore, we were guilty. Guilty of something. You know, and I guess where people take that and what they think of that is where we're at in society. But the demonization of somebody who stands against the norm, to me, seems to be an issue.
Tell me this, you guys. Bill Hates and Tony Fauci and all the other criminals, they're, I think, teasing us. They're showing a carrot, and the carrot is vaccination. And supposedly, if you and I and others go along to get along and we take the micro needle array, the patch, we're going to get our freedoms back. There's going to be bread and circuses for us. There'll be football, and there'll be life as we remembered it.
Agreed.
My issue is I don't trust anything they're saying. I think the vaccine agenda is totally nefarious, and I can't say it strongly enough. Don't let them put a patch on you. Don't agree to a patch. Don't agree to any vaccines. The efficacy of vaccines has always been questionable. Section 13 in the inserts. Anyone that ever reads Section 13 in the inserts of what they're putting in your body, you will run. And but at Walgreens and CVS and your local pharmacy, they got about 10 shots that they want you to take. And where do you guys see this on the timeline? We've got so much going on besides Corona. We've got Portland is every night is rioting, and apparently a patriot, a supposed patriot, was shot and killed, and it was a headline. I don't know if there's any more news on it. Where are you guys at with what's going on in Seattle and Portland? And Minneapolis, by the way, had a curfew for two nights. There was disinformation or misinformation. Apparently someone shot and killed somebody and then killed themselves. And the rumor was the cops killed them. And so there were two nights of rioting. And it all just looks to me like a powder keg ready to explode. And that has been part of their plan all along, is they want us to kill each other. They've turned us against each other, mask wearers versus non-mask wearers, those that will get a vaccine versus those that won't, those that are for saving a system that, of course, that they've totally criminalized. Think of how diabolical what they've done is. All right. They create this system, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, a constitution that's fabulous. But by 1871, they've already made D.C. a corporation, and every state's incorporated, and then the Supreme Court rules that the corporation is the same as a person. And my brother mentioned to me, he said, hey, you listen to the Democrats, you get communism. You listen to the Republicans, what you get is fascism. Essentially, you get a corporate state. So I'm turning it back to you guys. Maybe Jeff, you start. Where do you think it's going? What's your instinct? You and I have spent a lot of time in the same classrooms. We've studied the same subjects. We know a lot of the same information, and we'll get to the economy next. But where do you think this is going? And maybe it can't be separated from the economy, because when that chip falls, then we are absolutely all on our own.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it seems like, you know, we're hit from so many different directions as to events that happen that keep, personally, I guess me, and you guys are far more in tune, I'll admit that, but it seems the layperson, you know, we're kept off balance so often with a headline, and then there's followed by another headline, and these things just keep coming at us. I guess what I would say is at a rapid pace. You know, there seems to be no slowing. We just seem to get hit with one event, the next event, the next event. And dissemination of information is so much more frequent and readily available. My thought is, when you were talking, listening to you two guys, is, you know, okay, we're at a certain point, but what is the catalyst? We've had blood drawn, if you want to say, from both sides, and I believe it was the Archduke of Ferdinand who won bullet. But what is the powder keg in you two guys' minds, us people out here listening, saying, hey, what is it that could take this to the next level? Do we bite? Is this part of the plan? I mean, is this an engaged situation where they want us all to respond and we are simply being puppets to the puppeteers? What do you two think, where we're at, and what would it take, and why would we be confronted or in a situation that becomes somewhat insurmountable but cannot be reversed?
Do you want me to go first, Stu? Or?
Yeah, Paul. Hey.
All right. So I've studied their plans. My wake-up came when I was 14 years old, 48 years ago. So I've been aware of their plans, and I cannot accuse them of not putting the truth out in plain sight. What I can say is my efforts to awaken people, make them aware, energize them, has been, I've failed. And I've failed because
the gym's not up, man. So don't look at it being a failure. Been very positive. Go ahead.
Thank you. You know what? That actually means a lot. So what I was trying to do is get people to see that perceived reality is not the same as reality. And reality doesn't allow for innocence or being wishy-washy or falling into line with the two-party system, believing in the duopoly, believing in the lie every 4 years that this time it's going to be different and the people ruling the world actually care about us. So I'm going to make this point, and I think most of the listeners, bless you guys, you're well informed. What they've done with their plans now is they've put them into a supercomputer, and they've got hundreds of plans in about 12 major areas. And the points organization for all of their plans, they always have an organization out front, but you don't know who's behind the curtain. And that organization is the United Nations. And the United Nations came out with Agenda 21, and then Agenda 2030. And George 41, Bush, of course, promoted it. And about everybody that you've ever seen, from Heinz Kissinger to Zbigniew Brzezinski to Clinton to the Bushes to you name the politician, Tony Blair, Angela Merkel, the Australian people, they love to talk about the New World Order. Now, the New World Order in their plans, the one that they give us, it's this sustainability and health care for all and equitable this and that. So they frame it in these terms that are seductive, but nebulous. And they put all of their plans into AI, artificial intelligence. And then with CERN and D-Wave computing, they've turned it into artificial superintelligence. So I am going to argue here that
Super Spoke Ellis Johnson used to say, beyond computers. And there's a tape, folks, 17 minutes talking about him going out to Bluffdale where it's beyond computers, all hooked up to the system. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, thank you, because Otis supports what I've known for a long time, is they serving Lucifer and the fallen ones, the Watchers, the men of renown, so to speak, of Genesis 6-4, who I think in 1976 we turned over the planet to. What AI does, what super AI does, is it has an agenda and a plan for everything. And that's why when Jeffrey talked about being off balance, we're hit with this headline, this next headline, another headline. And with almost any topic, it's tough to have your bearings to develop a position and to talk intelligently about it, because before you know it, you're hit with another headline and another
and
issue.
Algorithms. It's algorithms in this is what you're talking about. You're very correct in this. And it's called crisis creation, crisis solution, or crisis control. Go ahead, Paul.
Jeff, why don't you weigh in here? Because I would like to transcend some of this to some concrete things about the economy. And maybe after you talk, then I want to just make some fundamental points about the economy.
I want to add one thing, though, here, Paul, is the fact that we have to understand that through our phones, everything is chipped. Your alarm clocks, your washers and dryers, everything. They know which room you're in. Everybody should listen to Dead Otis Johnson, Super Spook, Casey's right-hand guy, tried to bust Bush, okay? Tried to bust him with General Flynn before Flynn got neutralized and Otis was dead. Listen to that 17 minutes, the only time I recorded him, but they were hot on me and him both. He's talking about going out to Bluffdale, talking about 2013, everything will be chipped and know which room you're in your home. They have us under that kind of surveillance now. Everything's heard and seen. Get real, folks. We're in Zuzu Land, I call it. The Wizard of Oz. The devil himself. It's right here and now facing us. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I guess, Sue, thank you. You know, Paul had mentioned where kind of maybe where we're at or where it seems like we're going. And from what I understand, you know, there was talk about in the coronavirus compensation plan bill. I'm lacking, I guess, what that exactly meant. But
PPP.
There you go. They were talking about the addition of the Fed coin. And you guys probably know a little bit about this already, but my understanding is that there'd maybe be a transition to where we want to move towards, and like Stu was talking about, you know, everything is monitored on a receivership type level from transmission. So now you're talking about possibly incorporating a blockchain technology where everything is tracked in a sequence of a purchase. So let's just say I have an aptitude towards, I like to shoot skeet, let's say, and I want to go out in the country and shoot skeet for trap. Okay, well, let's say that I've got a certain amount of credits in my account, and this is just something that's been suggested because there's a certain credit card company that was stopping purchases of certain products and items because they were found or deemed to be inappropriate by someone else's standards. So somebody's saying and regulating to us, hey, look, we don't think you should be shooting trap or skeet because we don't agree with it. So this is part of the blockchain, let's call it, information highway that when a purchase is made, I can see exactly what's been made. If I don't agree with it as a provider or an individual or an entity or a government that's overriding the situation, I can put a stop to it with a keystroke. And I guess that's my concern is, you know, you talk about freedom. I have anonymity when I take a dollar bill and I purchase an item. I'm making a physical transaction with a paper currency. Now, when we move to a digital world, like Stu was mentioning, everything monitored and tracked, you guys tell me how much freedom has been removed from who I am as a person and the anonymity of my purchases. Where does that take us?
Paul, you want to comment on this one?
What Jeff just shared, Jeffrey, what you just shared is very real and very sobering. And I wish that I could respond in an efficacious way, meaning I wish I could take what you said and say, well, I'm going to give you a counterbalance to that.
Okay.
But the best that I can say at this point is never, ever give up one freedom. Never. And that's why this whole mask issue, that's why all of this compliance, all of this consent, you know, the joke I have is if somebody's bothered by my bandana, I offer them my other bandana. You know, if you're so worried, here's another mask for you. Now, I know that the whole mask deal is just one big farce. It's one big charade. It's not protecting me from you or you from someone else. It is all about compliance. Plus, I think it's an occult ritual. But then a lot of things like abortion, wars, all of those activities are occult rituals. That's what the dark side wants, and the dark side wants to destroy humanity. And I got to stop now because you guys have things to say.
Stu, go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. What is this doing with masks? What's it doing? You're becoming unsocial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're trying to do, conquer and divide?
Yes.
Crisis creation, crisis control, the crisis solution for crisis control. I watch the Stooges on Sunday morning. Otis taught me that. Now the spooks, watch what they say because we all watch them. That's the agenda for Sunday. Chris Wallace. Oh, Donald Trump. He's such a piece of shit. No, oh, he said all these things, but Biden, he's so great. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Laura Trump, his daughter-in-law, assistant campaign manager, did an excellent piece on him and neutralized the bastard in his Spin Doctor game. Now, folks, mail-in ballots are illegal. Illegal. They don't exist. You go down and you do an absentee ballot. Most states are 30 days before the election. They start taking absentee ballots. You go in person to the voting place and you fill out your absentee ballot. It's the only way your vote will be counted. And second, the voting booths being open on election day. And if they aren't, I'm already saying, I've heard rumors all week long, different patriots and listeners, and deep in Black Lives Matter are saying they're going to interrupt the election. Hey, where you can carry and conceal, do it. But guess what? You're standing in the voting booth line and some Antifa Black Lives Matter punk comes up, maces his ass, beat him up, arrest him, call the cops. You're making a citizen's arrest. He's violating your rights to go vote. He's trying to interfere in your voting, he or she. And everybody in line jump on and beat the fuck out of him and arrest them. Citizens arrest. The cops come pick them up. You sign off. You go appear in court. They try to violate my rights. We need to take care of what's coming before us. And these vaccinations. No, Bill Gates. Guess what, punk? I hope to hear that you're no longer breathing.
You know, there is so much power in the word no. No, I don't consent. No, that's not my belief. That's your fantasy, not mine. And I'm not trying to micromanage my neighbor or anyone else's life. God knows I got a lot of work to do on myself. But that being said, we are all part of neighborhoods that exist in communities, that exist in greater society. And I really think the most important concrete step that we can take right now, one, what we're doing, we're coming on the air and we're talking about issues and providing information that you can't get on the mainstream media. And we all know, Stu, if you tried to go on YouTube, you would be banned within 2 minutes. And everything we're talking about here is not acceptable to the globalists, the Luciferians. And I think the most concrete thing we can do at this point is say no to mail-in voting, no to about everything that Bill Haight says or Tony Fauci says, or that Kamala Harris says or Joe Biden says. And, you know, Donald Trump can, he can be amazing. He can say some impressive things. But I have to admit that by the time I was 14, I no longer bought into the good cop, bad cop, left, right. So when it comes to Trump, I wouldn't put my faith in any man. But what I will do is trust my neighbor and my family member and you. And, you know, we got to be careful who we associate with because, goodness knows, if you're active in any church, your church has already sold you out. You know, there's like about 400,000 churches across America. And only about 25,000 churches actually teach what the Bible says. That means that almost 90% or more of those churches are either Unity churches or World Council of Churches, or they teach the pre-tribulation rapture. And what those churches have done is they've told you, you don't have to do anything. Get vaccinated. You're going to get out of here. Well, I hope that there is a resurrection and a rapture sometime during this whole shit show that seems to be cascading, accelerating. But until that resurrection, rapture, I think we have to exercise the power of no. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a thug, but I will say this. Right now, government does not fear us. They don't fear me. They don't fear you. And they're not going to fear me, you, or Jeff on our own. But if a lot of people stand up and say no, then we do have, at least we can put a cog in their machine. We can interfere with their plans.
Do we have enough like-minded people? Do you think that there is this silent majority? Do you guys think that a lot more is going on behind the scenes than what we can see? And there's a lot of people who are just not saying anything. And we've got, what, 60-some days, 66 days before an election. What does that look like to you guys when we finally reach that point? Or do you think there's something that happens prior to that, either one of you gentlemen, that thinks that the direction could change or we could see something as a false flag event, so to speak?
They always do the October surprise. Daddy Bush has been known for it for years. He trained all these assholes to do it. And it always comes in October. October surprise. Jimmy Carter. October surprise. He's trying to raid the Iranians to release the hostages. And Daddy Bush has an admiral. This is the truth, folks. An admiral who is aboard a ship who intentionally crashed an airplane and helicopter together because someone was aboard that ship who I personally know that told me what they heard. And everybody aboard the ship was shocked. This admiral sold America out for Daddy Bush so they could crash a helicopter and an airplane so Jimmy Carter couldn't rescue the hostages. And so what happens 5 minutes after Daddy Bush and George Bush are inaugurated? What happens? Oh, the hostages are being talked to being released. Released, national news. But what did Daddy Bush do? He flew over there in a jet over to Paris, France, and paid Bonnie Sadar $40 million in cash, the president of Iran, to keep the hostages until the day they were inaugurated. And he got it on SR-71. And Ross Perot was told this by Gunter Rossbacher, that was the pilot that flew him over there, CIA spook. Harry Rupp, his buddy, who became my friend before his death, flew him over there. Dick Brennecke, which I only talked to a couple of times, flew him over there. With Fitzgerald, Daddy Bush's girlfriend, who he had an affair with, and she bore one of his kids, another one, when he was ambassador to China. Fitzgerald They marched him around on national TV on Now It Can Be Told by Geraldo Rivera at the time, because Sharon Churcher was one of his producers. She's a reporter with a English paper in Washington. She's the one that introduced me to Terry Reid, by the way, everybody.
Your neighbor, Terry Reid.
Yeah. Anyway, long story. Terry and I are probably the oldest, as you mentioned earlier. Whistleblower's still living, but he can only sell his book. They put guns to his wife's head and his brain. No more said. But here's the point. I've seen all this crap and all these lies and all the manipulations before an election. They got some kind of thing up their yin-yang to pull. The Democrat Party has already pulled their game. It's called fake election with Hill the Beast, creating a dossier with John McCain of the Republican Party, and Hill the Beast, Hillary Clinton. It leads to supposedly impeachment later on, supposedly indictments against his aides, including good, clean General Flynn, okay, trying to murder him, case test his dad, murdering his brother recently, all the bullshit, okay, neutralizing the president you and I elected because we didn't want another Barack Obama, Hill the Beast, putting crime syndicate stooge. And neutralize your president, folks, in my opinion. He's made big mistakes with Israel. Big mistakes. We put the embassy in Jerusalem. You violated the Camp David Accords, Mr. President. You need to go back and check your record. Jimmy Carter, Sadat died over it. Said, no, Jerusalem will never be the capital of Israel. That's where the Antichrist is going to reign, supposedly. That was a big mistake, Mr. Trump. Now, you had a big mistake in the White House. You get rid of Kellyanne Conway. Thank God for that. We can go on about all your mistakes. But I think the people in America want you to succeed. And they want you to drain the swamp. But they're getting tired of the bullshit and lies because your administration is not doing its job. In particular, the Attorney General is not doing his job in arresting Hillary Clinton and the others that were involved on all these crimes against America. And I don't know about the rest of you. The talk on the streets is, after the election, there's going to be a lot of rest. And if it's the American people doing it, I welcome it. Because we got a Constitution. And if you don't stand up for your Constitution, then you have no freedoms. You're going to be fucked. And you're not going to like how the devil's going to fuck you, sticking needles in you to control you and your DNA. And tell you all of a sudden, I love God, but I took the mark of the beast, Revelation 12. And I got lit up, and now I hate God because I took the mark of the beast because I needed something to eat. Folks, we're at a borderline. And what do I think? I think between now and after the election for the end of the year, we're going to have to pounce them and arrest them. Take them to trees and duct tape them to the tree naked. Hit them in the head. Do it silently. 3 Mile Solutions, 50 caliber with a scope. I've been trained as a Marine. I can take you out in 2 fucking seconds, kill you right on the spot, throw you in the back of my car, and my father's having a heart attack, and take you out and dump your fucking body in Roto-Rooter, muriatic acid, Lego's trouble down the drain. Am I going to have to do that? There's a high probability, yes, to save my constitutional rights and to stand up for the freedoms of those cowards who will not stand up for their own friggin' rights. It's me and Paul and Jeff and many Americans out here going to have to do it for all the cowards. So be prepared to do it, folks. because the day is at hand. When you can't buy or sell, time to pull the plug. Good, Paul.
Well, Stu, I want to say a couple of things. One, our purpose here is not to to start a war, and so I respect your position.
I'm not here to start any at all, but if it has to happen, I'm prepared to jump in and join.
Well, I just want the listeners to be clear that we're thinking out loud here, and we're not leading an armed revolution right now. The firepower that that they have is beyond what most of us can even fathom. But I do want to return to Jeffrey's question, and I want to try and answer it with some nuance, Jeff.
Okay.
The thing is, how many of us are there out there that are resistors? Well, I personally think it's over 50%, and I wouldn't even be surprised if it was over 70%. But one of the problems with that number is the well-funded 8-15% can do far more harm and create far more mayhem, and they've got the technology, and they've got the plans, and it's one thing for me to say, no, I'm not down with that. No, that's not my fantasy. I'm not going to go along with that. Now, that's an occult ritual that I won't participate in. So I guess it kind of comes back to everyone better have a network. Now, you know, I get to talk to you guys all the time, and I'm thankful for you guys. But there are people listening to us tonight. You know what? Their families against them. And I'm not saying that my daughters are on board with me. They just want to have the American dream. They just want to have the life that I had, that we had. And, you know, a lot of the life that we had was in perceived reality, not in reality. And we got lulled to sleep, basically. And now things are happening so fast, we look at each other and say, how can people not know something's wrong? But if you haven't had 5 years, 10 years, your experience, Stu, my experience at 14, becoming awake and aware, I mean, it put me in depression for about 5 years when I figured out what reality was. You know, I simply could not equivocate with people. You know, here I am a teenager, and my depression, disassociation, so to speak, was I knew what reality is. And now some people are finally waking up, but it takes so much time to wake up and to process. So, Steve, I think you asked the million-dollar question, the quadrillion-dollar question. You know, it's no longer the $64,000 question. It's the quadrillion-dollar question. So I think a lot of people have to agree with this. Now, I have to admit to you guys and everybody listening, I've never voted for a winning or a losing presidential candidate. I think they're all criminals, all of them. So, you know, I always wanted that my vote to count as no, so I could go in and vote against them. You know, that didn't go very far. And, you know, I even had a fabulous girl once, a woman that I was seeing, and it was like the late 80s, and she said, you know what, you tell way too many truths, and if you keep talking, they're going to kill you. And, you know, she was about 6 years older than me, and, you know, it was good to hear that because, you know, I have a friend that was the president of the Sierra Club, and I told him, hey, by the way, you know, the same people that fund the pollution, they're funding the Sierra Club. You're nothing but controlled opposition. Well, that was really hard for him to hear. You know, you don't want to hear that you're just being played. And what is the saying? I think it's attributed to Mark Twain. It's a lot easier to fool someone than to convince them that they've been fooled. But I'd like to transition right now, you guys, to the economy. And I just want to make a declarative statement. We are all debt slaves. And that's why this phony stock market, the charade that is the stock market, has lulled so many of us to sleep, because some of us that are over 50, we've played the game well enough that we've got some investments and they seem to be at all-time record highs. But the reality is, if I'm not doing well, or if Stu Webb's not doing well, or if Jeffrey's not doing well, how well are any of us doing? And so what you do in 1913 is you create the Federal Reserve, and it's not public. It's private, and it's a cabal. And then by 1933, America is bankrupt, and we're still in receivership. That's never changed. By 1947, we become the Fourth Reich. But America has served its purpose. It's Romerica. It's been the world's policeman. We've been at war. It seems like every year I've been alive, we've been in some war. And
it's the president's deputy power, so they always keep a war going.
Well, I thank you, because that's a great point. Jeff, you and I, we talk about the economy, and right now we've got fiat money. And I think all of our listeners are thinking, well, you know, at what point does that fiat money still have value? And does it have value until the gig's up, or is there going to be a reset? Are we going digital? See, I happen to be a Martin Armstrong guy in that I wish I would have known him when I was doing real economics back in the 80s when I was doing primary research. And Martin Armstrong, I think, has really explained some things very well for those who want to either buy a subscription or listen or get a hold of some of his forecasting. But Jeff, what do you think on the economy? I'm making the argument we're debt slaves, and they've got so much control over the economy, and they can pull the rug at any time. And when does that happen? And where does that fit with uncivil war? Does the reset trigger everything in America? Where does this go with the economy?
Well, that's a mouthful. Staying in line with Martin Armstrong, you know, his thought, and I'm just kind of, I guess, I suppose, channeling to some degree what he might think, not totally, but, you know, he would say that we are a nation of debt, and debt is credit, and because we've consumed or we've absorbed, created so much debt, that the government bonds at some point in time are going to be the old maid. You know, people are going to look at those bonds and say, hey, wait a minute, I've purchased a government obligation. They have no intention of ever repaying those dollars. So you're kind of in a situation where, okay, you've got an instrument that you might be able to peddle to your own local presence, but nationally, this is starting to look a little bit like a stinky onion. You know, nobody wants this thing. And how long do you keep the confidence in that? And what does it take to do that? And, you know, you need a strong military, obviously, to enforce the fact that, hey, our dollar's a good instrument. You're going to use it. And we've kind of had that pattern, you know, of basically being a strong-arm entity to make other nations use a currency that they may or may not agree with, but that's the soup du jour. So, you know, you made a comment about the Fed, and it's kind of interesting. I was going to share this with you two guys, but Benjamin Guggenheim, Isaac Strauss, Jacob Astor, these gentlemen in 1912 opposed the Federal Reserve Bank. So Guggenheim, Strauss, and Astor. All three of these men were aboard the Titanic when it sank. All three died that night. So, you know, what you're saying about the Fed is they pull a lot of strings. And we have to fall in line kind of with what they do. But they're pumping so much money now into the marketplace that when you can buy straight from the Fed, when you could pretty much not have to run it through an entity of a Goldman or a J.P. Morgan, when you can directly buy securities and obligations, you're putting that on your balance sheet. You are owning assets that you can print the money with. Then you can buy the assets. So those probably, you would think, have some legs if they're buying them. The question is, you know, it's pretty easy for them to print the obligation. We as the taxpayer then owe interest on every obligation that they print. So they've got a pretty good gig. But yet they do provide liquidity into the system. I get that. They provide money when it's needed. They pull it back when they want to tighten. I get that. But we are just consumers. And, you know, for us to try and wade through this is a difficult situation. You know, we get questions all the time. Hey, you know, how long is the stock market going to keep going like this? Oh, how long does the game keep going? Until we transition into something different, which I think we'll do, until we transition, we're kind of in that rut, you know. Weigh in, guys.
Musical chairs is what you're describing, and chairs keep getting pulled out. I know that we could go expansive here and talk about what it means to be a world reserve currency, the world's reserve currency, and that requires